Well, joining me now to discuss this further is Chrissy Muir, a professor of social policy and research director of the Centre for Social Impact at UNSW. Welcome on the program, Chrissy.
Thanks for having me.
So, Chrissy, from your research, why are more Australians feeling vulnerable and needing financial support?
What we've found is that the number of Australians under financial stress has increased over the last year. So around 1 in 8 Australians are experiencing severe or high levels of financial vulnerability. And in terms of that, it equates to around 2.4 million adults across the country. In regard to why, we see the big picture economic changes that you described in your introduction around, you know, we've had growing GDP growth for a couple of decades in Australia. We've also seen in some results that came out from the ABS last week that income inequality has declined. But what we've seen is that that's happened for the very highest income earners. And so while income inequality is slightly declined, there's a whole lot of other things going on for individual households where they're actually struggling to meet some basic living expenses, to come up with money to pay for various bills and respond when things go wrong.
I just want to ask about the financial pressure is increasing for households. You said there are a few factors that were at play. What are some of these factors? Is it a case of inflation of goods not matching the increase in wages for the general workers?
Yeah, overall, we've seen wages haven't increased over the last 5 years or so. There's not been any real growth. CPI hasn't grown a lot, and some things like the cost of housing, so people's mortgage repayments and rental repayments have gone up exponentially compared to the little growth that they've had in income. We've also seen rises in things like utilities, so people will notice that the cost of their energy bills and their water bills have gone up relative to how much money that they're actually earning.
And how have pressures evolved and changed from 10, 20 and even 30 years ago?
I think if you look at 10 years ago, we were actually in the global financial crisis. And so it's difficult to compare that over time. I think what we know now is that there are large numbers of Australians who are in financial stress. And people know that money matters, and it matters in terms of their, you know, where they live and who they live with and what they do with their spare time. And so the level of vulnerability across households has actually has held, particularly for low-income households. So we know, for example, if you're a low-income household and you're in a couple family with two children, you're in a position where just meeting your basic standard living costs with any sort of rebates you might get from the government, you are still falling behind by between $9 and $89 a week.
Sounds like quite a large amount, especially in the long run for families that are really at the bottom end and battling. I wonder, what are some of the policy responses we can see that would actually change things? Because constantly we hear, this is not the first time we've heard a narrative of increasing cost of housing versus relatively little to no wage growth for the majority of employees. What needs to change?
There's a number of things that need to change. I think sometimes when we talk about finances, individuals get sort of blamed around not being capable of saving. One of the things that we found is that more Australians are saving now than they were a year ago. So 6 in 10 adults are saving. But what we've also seen is that there's a decrease in the overall amount that people have saved. So around 1 in 3 adults only have less than or equal to about 1 or 2 months saved. That's only a couple of pay packets away from being in all sorts of financial trouble if something goes wrong, like they lose a job or somebody in the family gets sick. So what we need to look at is what needs to happen around the responsibility that's shared between governments, between community organisations and between financial institutions.
Now, one thing that seems to be particularly in vogue right now is a universal basic income. Even last week on The Daily, we had a story on the UBI. And would you support seeing a policy like a universal basic income where the government paid a figure or an amount of money to every citizen, irrespective of income, whether they're earning $1 million or $10,000 annually? They were paid a small amount of money that you get unconditionally. Do you think that might be able to have a serious long-term change?
Look, we're in a wealthy country, and at the moment, 4 in 10 kids that live in lone parent households are living in poverty. And so what we need to absolutely make sure of is that there is adequate income for everybody across the country. That's really important. We need to make sure that financial institutions and governments work together to make sure there is accessible and affordable credit and insurance to make sure that people can be supported. And we need to make sure that when people need it, that community organisations and government can provide support for people in need. We have a couple of things that are going on across the country. So, for example, there is a no-interest loan scheme that people can access if they meet certain eligibility criteria. And that means that if your fridge or washing machine dies, you can actually go to a Good Shepherd microfinance store online and borrow $1,000 to replace that fridge, and that loan will have no interest to repay it. Okay. What we need to make sure of is that those loans are available at a scale that's enough for everybody that needs it.
So you don't think something like universal basic income needs to necessarily come into the policy mix? It's more about having targeted policy towards people who are living in relative or absolute poverty?
Look, I'm going to hold off on making a conclusion on the universal basic income. I think that the main important thing is that we have adequate standards of income, and we need to address that across the, particularly for the most vulnerable Australians.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Christy.
Thanks for having me.